eKatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of eKatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are focusing on a technology that's, well, constantly surrounded by science fiction, a lot of hype, robotics. We're trying to cut through all that noise.
Right, to really understand what robots actually are, how they work, and maybe more importantly, the huge choices we're facing right now as they become part of, well, everything.
Exactly. Robotics isn't some far-off future thing anymore. It's here. It's changing manufacturing, how we care for the elderly, you name it.
And it's more than just, you know, faster gadgets. It feels like a really fundamental shift. So to get our heads around it, we need a clear, grounded view.
And we found a fantastic source for that, the work of Professor Alan Winfield. He's written extensively on this.
Yeah, he really helps cut through the confusion. Our mission, really, for you listening, is to leave this chat feeling more confident. Confident enough to look at new policies or product claims about autonomous systems and really question them.
To be an informed participant in what's coming.
Absolutely. And Professor Winfield is kind of the perfect guide for this. He's the professor of robot ethics at the University of the West of England in Bristol.
And he co-founded the Bristol Robotics Laboratory, which is a really big deal in the field.
It is. And what makes his take so valuable, I think, is that he's not just thinking about it from an armchair. He's got, what, over 30 years of hands-on research?
Yeah, building robots, working on things like swarm robotics, artificial life. He's actually doing it.
Exactly. He's a creator and a critic. He knows the technical limits, what a machine can actually do. Mm. And that gives so much more weight to his ideas about what they should do, ethically speaking.
He really bridges that gap, doesn't he, between the super complex tech stuff and, well, us trying to understand it all.
He does. And his main argument, his central thesis, really hammers this home. He says integrating robots successfully isn't just about how good the tech is.
Right. It's equally about our ability to develop the right ethical guidelines, the right policies, the regulations. You need both sides.
You can't just focus on building cooler robots. You need the framework around them. So the purpose of his work, really, is to demystify robotics for, you know, the interested non-expert for you.
And to equip us all to actually take part in the democratic decisions about this stuff. How do we regulate it?
Right. So his writing takes you on this journey. Starts with the basics, sensors, AI, that kind of thing. Then moves to the cutting edge surface robots, self-driving cars, even space exploration.
But the core, it seems, always comes back to the social and ethical side. Jobs, privacy, accountability. Even robot rights gets a mention.
Yeah. The big insight is that getting the nuts and bolts isn't just for engineers. It's crucial for all of us if we want to keep human values, human dignity at the center as these technologies spread.
It's a call to kind of match our technical cleverness with some collective wisdom.
Well put. Okay, so let's unpack this a bit, starting right at the beginning. Winfield has to push past all the sci-fi images, you know, the walking, talking humanoids.
To ask the basic question, what actually is a robot?
And he gives us a really practical, functional definition. It's based on a cycle.
The sense, think, act cycle, right? STA.
Exactly. It's very pragmatic, strips away the fantasy. A robot has to sense its environment. Could be cameras, could be LIDAR, whatever.
Like an absence.
Then it has to process that information to make some kind of decision. That's the think part. Doesn't have to be super intelligent thinking necessarily, but some processing.
And then the crucial last step.
It has to physically act on the world. Interact, move something, drive somewhere. That's the act part.
And that act part highlights something key he talks about, embodiment.
Yes, this is so important. A robot isn't just code. It's not just an AI and a computer. It's a physical thing.
It has to deal with the messy real world. Mm. Friction, gravity, things getting in the way unexpectedly.
Right. That physical presence is what makes it different from pure software AI. The body, in a way, creates the problems the mind has to solve.
Okay, so the body shapes the intelligence needed. And how it solves those problems, that defines its intelligence architecture.
Pretty much. Winfield lays out that robot intelligence isn't just one thing, it's more like a spectrum. At one end, you've got the classic approach.
The deliberative one. Top down.
Yeah, the sense, plan, act model. Think of the early AI robots, like Shaky. The idea was to build a complete, detailed, internal map of the world.
And then meticulously plan out every single step before moving.
Exactly. Plan the whole sequence, which sounds great in theory, very precise.
Right.
But in the real world, things change constantly. If a chair gets moved or a person walks by,
the whole plan is useless.
Right, it's brittle. It has to stop, rebuild the entire world model, replan everything. It's just too slow and clunky for dynamic environments.
So what's the alternative for dealing with things in real time?
That's the reactive approach, bottom up, pioneered by people like Rodney Brooks, often called the subsumption architecture.
Okay, reactive. How does that work?
The key is simplicity. Instead of one giant brain planning everything, you have simple, layered behaviors, direct links from sensors to motors. Like, if front sensor detects obstacle, turn right. If battery low, seek charging station. Really basic rules.
And these run independently?
Sort of simultaneously in layers. A higher level goal like explore room might be active, but if the avoid obstacle layer detects something, it takes precedence instantly. It's robust. If one sensor fails, the whole system doesn't collapse. It might just fall back to a simpler behavior.
That sounds much more like how insects operate, maybe. Simple rules,
Oh, yeah.
effective action.
Exactly. And this is where it gets really mind-bending. Winfield talks about Breitenberg vehicles. These are thought experiments, but they illustrate the point perfectly.
Okay.
Imagine a really simple wheeled robot. It has, say, two light sensors, one on each side, and each sensor is directly wired to the wheel motor on the opposite side.
Okay, left sensor wired to right wheel, right sensor to left wheel.
Right. Now imagine a light source off to the left. The left sensor gets more light, so it makes the right wheel spin faster.
Which turns the robot
Oh,
towards the light.
exactly. It looks like the robot is attracted to the light. Maybe it seems curious or goal-oriented, but there's zero complex thought, no planning, no consciousness. It's just the physical wiring in the environment.
Wow. So complex seeming behavior can just emerge from really simple rules and the physical setup.
That's a huge insight. It really challenges that sci-fi notion that you need, massive computers for anything that looks intelligent. Clever design and embodiment matter just as much, maybe more sometimes.
Okay, so we have these different ways robots can think and act. Let's talk about where we actually see them, the applications.
Right. Well, the most established are obviously industrial robots. Think car factories, assembly lines, the whole lights out manufacturing idea.
Yeah, highly specialized, very repetitive tasks, super efficient. But that's also where the job displacement fears really come in, right?
Absolutely. It's a legitimate concern, and Winfield acknowledges it, but it's also complex new jobs get created too, just different kinds.
Then there are the service robots. These are the ones moving out of the factory and into, well, our lives,
Yeah.
homes, hospitals.
Exactly. And the big challenge here is that these environments are unstructured. They're messy, unpredictable, unlike a controlled assembly line.
Like robot vacuum cleaners trying to navigate furniture and pets.
Or surgical robots like the Da Vinci system. That's a great example of collaboration. The surgeon is still fully in control, but the robot provides enhanced precision, steadier hands. The human directs, the robot assists.
So it's not always about full autonomy.
Often it's not. Which brings us to the third category, robots in extreme environments. Think Mars rovers, deep sea subs, robots used in disaster zones like Fukushima.
Places humans can't go or where it's incredibly dangerous.
Right. And here, autonomy becomes much more critical. You can't just joystick a Mars rover in real time. The communication delay is too long. They need to make decisions on their own. These applications really push the boundaries of the technology.
Okay, so robots are out there doing vastly different things. But once they start interacting closely with us, that's where the social and ethical stuff gets really complex.
Huge focus for Winfield, human-robot interaction, or HRI.
And one of the first things that comes up is that creepy feeling,
Yeah.
the uncanny
Hey,
valley.
yes. When a robot looks almost human, but just not quite right, it's unsettling, and it's a massive hurdle for design. If people are instinctively put off, they won't trust it, they won't want it around.
Even if it's technically brilliant.
Exactly. Because once they're in our space, they become social actors, whether we design them that way or not, which leads to things like Asimov's three laws.
The famous laws: protect humans, obey orders, protect self.
Winfield discusses them. They're brilliant, absolutely seminal for framing the ethical questions. Great literature.
But Winfield discusses them. They're brilliant. Absolutely seminal for framing the ethical questions. Great literature.
Not actually programmable. Pretty much impossible to implement reliably. Real-world ethics aren't neat rules. They're messy, situational, full of conflicts. How do you program do no harm when any action might have unforeseen negative consequences? How does a machine weigh competing harms in milliseconds?
Yeah, context is everything.
Which leads us to the really pressing ethical problems we face now, like the debate over lethal autonomous weapons laws. Should a machine ever make the decision to take a human life?
Huge and Terrifying question.
And the related, maybe broader challenge of accountability. If an autonomous system, a self-driving car, a medical robot, whatever makes a mistake and causes harm, who is responsible?
The programmer, the manufacturer,
Yeah.
the owner, the robot itself.
It can't just be nobody. The responsibility can't just evaporate into the algorithm. We need legal and ethical frameworks before these things are everywhere, not after disaster strikes.
Definitely need to figure that out.
Yeah.
So, stepping back a bit, what are some of the big recurring themes in Winfield's perspective?
Okay, yeah. Theme one, I'd say, is biology as the ultimate blueprint, biomimicry. He constantly points back to nature.
How evolution has already solved so many complex problems.
Exactly. Locomotion, sensing, control, energy efficiency. Nature solutions are often incredibly robust and elegant. We're still learning from insects, from animals. It makes robotics feel less like creating something totally alien and more like another step in engineering inspired by life.
Okay, that's one. What else?
Theme two, the autonomy spectrum. We tend to think in black and white, either it's a dumb tool or it's Skynet.
Right, all or nothing.
But the reality is almost always somewhere in between. Most systems involve different degrees of human-robot collaboration. Very few things are 100% autonomous with zero human oversight or input.
Like the surgical robot example,
Yep.
or even cruise control in a car that's a level of autonomy, but the human is still ultimately in charge.
Precisely. And understanding where on that spectrum a system lies is crucial, especially for things like liability and trust.
Makes sense. What's the third theme?
Human-centered design and social acceptance. This is huge. Technical brilliance isn't enough. The real test is whether a robot fits into our social world, respects our norms, feels acceptable in our culture.
Yeah, my robot vacuum cleaner might be technically clever, but if it constantly bumps into things or gets stuck under the sofa, it's just annoying. Its social integration fails.
Exactly. Its success depends less on its processor speed and more on whether we feel comfortable having it in our home, sharing our space. It needs to be, a good citizen in our environment.
Okay, one more.
The last big one is the urgency of robotics literacy for everyone. We need to understand this stuff, not necessarily the deep engineering, but the principles, the implications.
So we can actually participate in the conversation about policy, about regulation.
Yes. So we're not just passive consumers reacting to whatever tech companies roll out. We need to be able to critique, to question, to shape the direction this technology takes through democratic means.
That feels really important. His work definitely gives you the tools and the vocabulary for that. He has some really concise ways of putting things, too.
He does, like challenging the whole sci-fi superintelligence idea. A robot is a machine that can sense, think, and act, but the thinking part doesn't need to be very smart.
Right. It pulls the focus back to function, to utility. Most robots we need are specialists, not general geniuses.
Then there's the jobs question. He reframes it. The question is not whether robots will take our jobs, but how we can design robots and organize society so that technological progress benefits everyone.
That shifts it from this scary inevitability to, well, a problem we can actually solve through policy and design choices. It gives us agency back.
It does, and maybe the most critical one ethically is about trust. Trust in robots is not about the robot, it's about the humans who designed, built, and deployed it.
Ooh, that's powerful. It keeps the responsibility firmly with people. We can't just blame the algorithm if something goes wrong. Trust is fundamentally human.
Yeah. And linked to that, another key point, explainable robotics is not a luxury. It's a necessity for robots that make decisions affecting human welfare. We need to understand why a robot made a decision, especially in critical situations. No black boxes.
Okay, so how can we, use these ideas day to day?
Well, for you as a consumer, try using that STA cycle sense, think, act, and the idea of the intelligence spectrum when you see products marketed as AI powered.
Like smart home devices or whatever.
Yeah. Does it seem like it's doing complex planning, or is it mostly simple, reactive behaviors? It helps you cut through the marketing hype and assess what it's really doing.
Okay, be more critical, consumer. What about like civic engagement?
Uses ethical thinking to ask better questions about regulations. Don't just ask if a self-driving car is safe. Ask what biases might be in its training data. What happens when the sensors fail? Who specifically is legally accountable if it causes an accident? Push for clarity on accountability.
Deeper questions and professionally.
You can think about that deliberative versus reactive distinction. For complex strategic planning where you need novel solutions, okay, use the resource-intensive, deliberative approach. But for everyday, repetitive tasks where speed and robustness matter most, maybe simple, reliable, reactive rules are actually better and more efficient. Match the approach to the problem.
That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Reflecting on all this, what really stood out to you?
For me, it was probably the depth of that embodiment idea. I always kind of vaguely thought robot intelligence meant faster processors, more data.
Bigger brains.
Yeah. But the insight that complexity often emerges from simple rules interacting with a physical body in a real environment, that the environment itself shapes the intelligence needed, that really resonated. The body shapes the mind, even for a machine.
That's fascinating. For me, I think it was the sheer urgency of the ethical side. Winfield makes it so clear that ethics can't be an afterthought.
Right. You can't just build the tech and then figure out the rules.
Exactly. Things like transparency, accountability they have to be baked into the design from the very beginning. It feels like our wisdom needs to keep pace with our ingenuity, maybe even lead it.
That's a great way to put it. Which leads us, I suppose, to a final thought for you to consider.
The truly profound challenge ahead might not be building the smartest machine.
It might be creating the human systems, the laws, the ethical guidelines, the social norms that ensure these increasingly powerful autonomous technologies actually enhance our humanity rather than diminishing it.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Katra Foundation.